Internet Talk Radio. Planet Earth. This is TalkZone.com.
And now, let's get back to Barely Legal with Robin Earl and David Spada. Whoa. Okay, everybody, it is 22 past the hour. This is the Barely Legal Show, and boy, I tell you what, we had a lot of excitement last night, David, with the Bulls, of course. We've touched on that. The Blackhawks got off to kind of a slow start, got down three goals, but managed to come back, score three in the third, and then all of a sudden, they had what they call a three-on-one break with about a minute and a half to go, and the goaltender for Blackhawks, some long name, Russian
Nikolai Havlibulin,
whatever. So anyway, they scored the goal, and of course they had to pull the goal, and they had an empty netter at the end. But I tell you what, I think the Hawks. What the heck am I talking about here? The Blackhawks may have just found some type of a solution that to go and get three goals like that. I think it's going to give them a great advantage going into the game on Saturday.
It was a great comeback. We found a Hall of Famer on the line here, Billy Williams. How you doing today, Billy?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, what's going on, Billy?
Too much. That's exciting times in Chicago in sports, huh?
Unbelievable. Did you get?
I watched the basketball game last night. Three overtimes and. Was the Blackhawks loss, and out at Wrigley Field, we lose the ball game.
What were you watching, Billy? The Cubs, the Hawks, or the Bulls?
It was back and forth, but I stayed with the Cubs a little longer. And, I saw them lose that game last night.
Yeah, you know what? Believe it or not, I was I had the pitcher in pitcher, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've got the Bulls on the left and the Cubbies on the right. I'm a huge Cub fan.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of coincidental how when Heinrich tanked that lay-in. Remember? I don't know if in the third overtime.
Right, right.
If he would have made the thing, you know, it would have given us a 3-point lead, and it probably would have, we could have breathed a sigh of relief a little bit.
How those games been played, though.
I know.
Everybody, you're talking about playing the champions of last year, and all of a sudden the Bulls is playing right there with them. On the game seven, so this is great. You know, the Bulls start playing good at the right time.
They sure did.
That's what we got to do next year.
Yeah.
As the Chicago Cubs, after winning 97 ball games, you know, you go into playoff, and the last couple of years, about a week and a half before the season end, we kind of hit a sour note.
What do you think of the Cubs this year? What's going on?
Well, it's a good ball club. I spent six weeks with them out in spring training, and I saw some good things going to happen this summer. Mm-hmm. I know that in the past 2 weeks, we've only played 21 baseball games, and I imagine, you know, the big guys, you know, haven't played in about five of those games because Ramirez been hurt.
Right.
Lee been hurt, and of course, Bradley, who's going to be outstanding for the Chicago Cubs this year, going to have a terrific year. He's a good player, good hitter. And right now, we're not hitting on eight cylinders. And, of course, the bullpen is, not throwing strikes. Last night, when Mama came in the ball game, you can't walk nobody that time of the baseball game. And this is what he did so well last year. He didn't do that. So, we're not swinging the bat real good to make the mistakes that we're making now. You know, last night we had a ball that hit the Lee. And lead through to Terrio at second base, and he missed the ball, and I think that opened the floodgates last night.
Yeah, you know what? I was just saying that, believe it or not, on that pitcher-in-pitcher that I had on my HD 70-inch screen home mm-hmm. that my son gave me, thank goodness, because I can really watch some great sports now, is that when Heinrich tanked that layup, simultaneously, I'm watching the Cubs, and it was the exact same time that Terrio muffed that.
Is that right?
It was like, oh my goodness gracious, we just got bit twice.
Yeah, I think we played the last 10 baseball games. We scored an average of about two or three runs a game. You know,
is it the cold weather?
We win baseball games like that. We have several guys not swinging a bat real well. We have our Rookie of the Year last year. You know, he having a little tough time.
Soto's having a tough one
on the plate, and of course. You look forward to him coming out and having a good year. I'll tell you one thing, though. I'm really, really excited this year what happened with Fukudome. He's swinging a bat real well.
Darn
he's
right.
Plays in the outfield. So he's turned this season around. I know that he had a pretty decent season the first of the year last year, but he kind of tailed off at the end. But, you know, let's hope he could put both halves together.
You know, the season, you know, obviously we haven't got off to the great start that we wanted. We're playing, we're below 500 now. We're 10-11. Mm-hmm. What's really surprised me a little bit is how well St. Louis is playing. You think this is going to continue for the rest of the year, or is it just St. Louis?
Well, this is St. Louis. You know, everybody count them out every year.
They do.
Terrific manager there, and La Russa. But anytime you have the first baseman Pujols on your ball club,
that's right.
You can't count him out because he's a terrific hitter. And I think in the last couple of games, what is his name, Ankle? You know, Ankle.
Ankle,
He swung the bat real well, and he drove in some big runs for him. So they got a pretty decent ball club. I know in spring training we looked at them, and they didn't have all the pitching together. So now, you know, they playing pretty good baseball. And as I said, anytime you got Pujols on your ball club, you know, he could come up big in the last 6 or 7, then they hit you a 3-run homer.
It's amazing how one guy can carry a team like that. And you know, I love the way he plays. He comes to play every day. He happens to be my wife's favorite player, by the way.
You have a guy like that, and the guy is hitting behind him. The guy hitting behind him is having a terrific year too. So you know, anytime you go in a meeting, and it's always been said ever since I've been in the game of baseball, when you walk in a clubhouse and you talk about Leo, you talk about don't let Mays beat you, don't let Henry Aaron beat you, don't let Willie Stargell beat you. But if you have somebody hitting behind those individuals, because you know they're going to be on base. And this is how you got to pitch. But there are times when you got a guy hitting behind him, Pujols, you know, you got to pitch to him. So it's tough. It's tough.
Billy, did you hit in front or behind Ernie?
I hit in front of Ernie. When I came to the big league in 1959, and of course, 61, I was the rookie of the year, and I hit in front of Ernie. I hit third most of my career simply because I was one of those guys could get a base hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a little power to hit the ball out the ballpark, and when I walked in the clubhouse, my name was posted in the third slot because that's where Leo wanted me to hit. And that's a good spot, but I was in front of Ernie, and there were times I was in front of Ron Sano.
Who would you bat third in the Cubs lineup?
Who would I bat third? You know, you got Bradley. When he starts swinging the bat real good, I would love to hit him third. Because what happened, he puts the ball in play, he hit the ball to left field or right field. Plus, he's a switch hitter,
mm-hmm.
You know, and he doesn't run that bad. You know, when he's third place hitter, you bring in a left hander, he could switch over to the other side. But, you know, he hit over 300 last year because he didn't do anything but DH. But this year, he's going to play some baseball game. But he's a pretty good hitter.
Yeah, you know what? I really hope he gets completely healthy because it still looks like he's gimping around out there a little bit. Is that how it looks to you, too?
Well, the other night, you know, when I watched that ball game the other night, and, of course, when he was playing right field and he came in on a ball and he was kind of limping, and, you know, I was in the clubhouse and I talked to him. I said, you know, you hurt your team when you're like that. You know, you got to be healthy.
That's
and
right.
Anybody, you know, he coming over here, he want to prove that he's worthy of the contract he got here. He want to play for Chicago Cubs. And I think the one thing that he did was trying to get back in the lineup a little bit too soon. I like for him to, you know, Leo used to always say, you ready today? I give you tomorrow. You're going to play tomorrow. He always give you that extra day.
I like that.
To make sure.
Yeah,
that you're
yeah.
Who was your favorite manager to play for?
Well, I just mentioned his name, Leo DeRosa.
Leo DeRosa.
He was tough, but he was honest. We had a lot of fun with Leo. You know, because when he came over here, we didn't have a good finish in the National League. Matter of fact, we finished 8 that year, and I always said Leo came over and said, you're not an 8th place ball club. Certainly we wasn't, because we finished 10th that year. But after that particular year, Robert, we start playing real good baseball. That's when 1966, we trained in Long Beach, California. And that was the same year Leo taking a ball club, and of course the trades were made. He made Fergie a starter that particular year, which incidentally, you know, we're going to retire Fergie and be a Madlock number on Sunday, and it should be a nice ceremony. But he went to San Francisco and got Bill Hands and Randy Huntley, and we were standing behind the batting cage,
the Reb,
in Long Beach, California. And Kenny Holtzman was doing batting practice. And I tell you what kind of sense of baseball Leo had. And this kid was playing double-A baseball. He was pitching in double-A baseball. And Leo said, Kenny Holtzman, this kid could win in the big league right now. And he did. He won 8 games for us in, you know, 69. And he was just a – he made some trades. He made some decisions that every year after the end, after we finished 10th, we was always second. We was always second, not first, second or third. But we were right there knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door. We're speaking with Billy Williams, Hall of Famer. Came in the league, see here, 1959 for the Chicago Cubs. Had a batting average of .290, 426 home runs, and 2,711 hits. Wow, I tell you what. You know, when you're left-handed, do you play golf left-handed, by the way?
Yes, I do.
There you go.
I
know we've played.
I have that little slice.
I know we've played in a lot of golf outings together, and I always enjoy your company. But what is it with the lefties at the plate? They always have that. If you are a real pure hitter like you were, they always call it, you know, of course, your nickname, you know, Sweet Billy Ray.
Yeah.
Williams, Sweet Billy. You know, and of course, with Junior, same way. When you lefties hit that ball, it seems so smooth. It different than right-handers.
I think because so many people are right-handed, I think when you see a left-handed hitter, everybody wants to be a left-handed hitter. And the ball, actually, there's a lot of right-handed pitchers, you know, and the ball always tailing into you.
Okay.
And most of the time, you see a good left-handed hitter. There's exception. Most of your left-handed hitters are low-ball hitters.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the ball. They throw the bat head down, and the ball just flies off the bat. And so you have some left-handed hitters. Like the guy the other day, we planned Arizona, and Tracy, and someone threw him a high fastball, and I don't know.
Knocked it out of the park.
Baseball.
Yeah.
But he hit that ball up against the fence.
And yeah.
Now, that's an exception. But most of your left-handed hitters are low-ball hitters. And I don't know why, but it's a good pitch for them to hit.
Well, except we have a leadoff batter by the name of Soriano who likes that low ball. He's a righty.
He really does.
Exactly.
He really does. And, you know, I think he's third in line now with leadoff home runs. And, of course, the master of that was Ricky Henderson. When I was with the A's in 1984, I was a hitting coach, so I saw a lot of that out there with him. And he's going to be going in the Hall of Fame, and it's really, really going to be nice to see him stand on that podium and accept that award.
That guy was a winner. Every team he went to, it seemed like, made the playoffs, contended for the World Series. He won some World Series titles. That guy was just an igniter.
Well, you find those guys. You know, Don Baylor was one of those individuals. Reggie Jackson was one of those individuals. And Dave Henderson, I think, was the name. Everywhere those guys went, you know, they won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Ernie and I played 18 years in the big league, having good years in the major league. And, you know, the only thing we have is wearing a Hall of Fame ring. We don't have a World Series ring.
Exactly. I mean, you guys were enjoyable to watch. I mean, Don Kessinger said you were the best hitter day in, day out he ever saw. He said it was unbelievable. He said you hit all the time.
Well, I had a good teacher. A lot of people don't know. I think I've mentioned several times when I was in double-A baseball, Ronnie and I, because we seemed like everywhere I went, Ronnie went. Everywhere Ronnie went, I went.
Not Ronnie
Woo-Woo.
Ronnie Woo-Woo.
We had a good hitting coach down there by the name of Rogers Hornsby. He was one of the best right-handed hitters in the game of baseball, and he taught us a lot about, you know, seeing the ball, making the ball be over home plate, which is 17 inches wide. And at that time, it's from your armpit to your knees. But now, it's 2.5 balls above your belt. But, you know, we talked a lot about hitting, setting up pitches, and doing some things that making you a good hitter.
Billy, we've had Cubs season tickets since 1982. The first couple of years, we were right where the pitch warmed up, and you were the Cubs hitting coach. I'll never forget this story. I yelled your name out all season. Mr. Williams, can I have your autograph? Can I have your autograph? Finally, you came over one day. My dad was standing next to me. I was like 13 years old. You said, kid, you have yelled my name all year. He goes, I was waiting to see when you get tired. He goes, here's your autograph.
Is that right?
Exactly. You were the nicest guy. But you were laughing. You go, you kept yelling my name out. I was waiting to see when you got tired.
All year, huh?
All year.
Spotted my name, huh?
Exactly.
Maybe that's why I wanted you to holler it out there. Hey. But, you know, it was a lot of fun playing in the 60s here. We didn't get that many people. You know, 6,000 people like that come to the baseball game. And
right.
As you know, they didn't open the upper deck until the weekend. And on Thursday,
oh, that's right. That's
they have
right.
All of those things going by the wayside.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really exciting out there. It's a tough place now to get a ticket, but it's been some exciting baseball in the last 10 or 12 years for the Chicago Cubs.
I'm gonna give you a little Billy Williams story here, because a lot of people accuse me, even though I grew up in Seattle, why am I such a huge Cubs fan? Well, my first Major League Baseball game that I ever witnessed, went to live, was a Cubs game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 1965, and I'm looking up your statistics in 65, man. That, you know, you played the most games that year, 164, you batted 315, and you guys are playing the Houston Astros that day. I'll never forget this, Billy. The Cubs won 9-8, mm-hmm. and there were like 8 or 9 home runs knocked out that day because the wind was blowing out.
Right.
It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And of course, in 65, you know, that's when you guys had that great lineup with you and Ernie and Ron Santo and the gang. And little did I know, being a little fourth grader. You know what I mean?
It was a terrific lineup. The only thing, you know, when I first came to the big league, I had stole about 10 or 12 bases in the minor league.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to the big league, you know, when I got a base hit, we wasn't doing any type of running. And Ronnie hit 30 home runs. Ernie and I hit 30 home runs. But we scored a lot of runs, but we didn't win baseball
games. Didn't win baseball games.
Rookie, yeah. No hands, start pitching.
Yeah.
And going back to that game, I think this is at Houston. We played Houston. And, you know, you talk about that game. I don't know whether it was a game, but it was exciting day that day, because I went 8-for-8 in a doubleheader.
Whoa.
That was exciting to me.
You know? Wow, absolutely.
One of the terrific days.
Hey, real quick, like, we're up against the clock here on a break, but did you ever want to manage, Billy?
At one time I did, Robert. You know, when I first got out of the game, Dallas Green, he was coaching here.
Mm-hmm.
I was a hitting coach for a while. And Dallas asked me to go run the instruction league. And so I went out there and did a terrific job. And I knew I could do it, because after you play so many years in the big league, if you don't learn anything about this game, I'm out there every day. I'm doing things to help my ball club win. And
amen.
It's not a matter of you know, making guys do this and making guys do that. You want to put them in a winning situation.
Absolutely.
And I did that out in Arizona. And that was one year that I told Dallas, and we didn't have a manager here in Chicago, so I told him, you know, to let me come in and manage the Chicago Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess at that time he wasn't sure, you know. And Dallas and Gordy Goldberg, who was the minor league farm director, asked me to go to AAA and manage our AAA club.
Okay.
But I wasn't ready to go to AAA. I wanted to manage in the big league.
In the bigs, absolutely. Well, that's where you felt you belonged. Absolutely.
Excuse me.
Not a problem.
So that was the only time, but now it's far away now. I'm enjoying myself. Playing a little golf. I'm still involved with the ball club.
Gotcha.
I do 6 weeks of spring training. And it's really fun to stay around the ball club, to get to know the guys, and just do what I can to help them win baseball games.
Fantastic. Hey, Billy, thanks for coming on, man. You made our morning enjoyable. Love to talk some Cubs baseball. Look forward to seeing you on the golf course this year.
Well, real good.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Billy.
All
thanks, Billy.
Take care. Yeah, have a nice day.
You
all
too.
Right,
go Cubs.
All right.
Go Cubs. This is the Barely Legal Show, and we'll be back in a jiff.
I'm Robin Earl, head coach of the Liberty Chicago team and former player for the Chicago Bears. Hey, let's face it. Times are really tough in America right now. The cost of living continues to increase. The loss of jobs is staggering. The housing market has tumbled, and there is really no good news in sight. I cross my fingers every day and hope that the new economic stimulus package will create jobs and get the economy moving again. Staying positive and upbeat is in my DNA. Liberty International's stimulus package is simple. We help you eliminate your high cost of your home and cell phone service. But that's not all. If you're looking for an explosive opportunity that can produce immediate results that incorporates the best of corporate America, networking, and direct sales, I can help. But you need to call me at 224-515-0500 or visit my website at robinearl.net. If you're looking to earn additional income or want a complete career change, I can help. But you need to pick up the phone and call me at 224-515-0500. The ball is in your court. Take advantage of this explosive technology Liberty International provides. You'll be glad you did.
The next time you're in the coffee aisle in the grocery store, pick up a can of Stewart's Coffee. You're probably asking yourself, why Stewart's? Because Stewart's roasts only the finest beans and grinds those beans to perfection. By using the finest beans, you'll get a more consistent taste. This is the reason Stewart's has been around since 1912. Consistency and quality. Still family-owned and operated? You'll know Stewart's Coffee because of its plaid can. You'll find cheaper coffee on the store shelves, but not the quality of Stewart's. Remember, you get what you pay for. Coffee's good, but Stewart's Coffee is so good.